One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Used to, my mother would teach me, said, "Now, son," we didn't have many birthday parties in our country. Never forget the first one I ever went to in my life. I thought it was the nicest thing I ever attended. Only thing that bothered me, the little girl, her name was Mary Anna Narsh. She was my sweetheart. Really? But I've always been interested in sweethearts. I just always have. I feel, you've heard me say this, but I've always felt sorry for the devil because he ain't got any sweethearts.
Right.
That's right, he hadn't got one. None of his kids are sweethearts.
Right.
They're all bitter hearts.
Right.
I tell you, if there's anything I despise, it's a bitter heart. I don't even want to be around them. I went over to that birthday party, and my mother told me, she said, "Now, son, you'll have to take a gift." I said, "For what?" "Well," she said, "it's her birthday party, and you take gifts to birthday." I said, "All right, well, get me something." So she went over to Dawson, 5 miles away, and she got a little box of talcum powder or something. I don't know what it was, but back in those days, if you had a box of talcum powder, you was pretty well fixed. You got deodorants now and colognes and perfumes, but we didn't live in the day where we needed any of that. Because talcum powder would do it all. Well, some of you enjoy that because you know what I'm talking about. You can tell these country hicks when you meet them. You know that? Well, praise the Lord. I tell you. So I went over there, and I tell you, we had the time. We had homemade ice cream and cake. Of course, that's about the best part of the party right there. But we put all the gifts on the bed. All of them. And I want you to know there's a lot of them. And she got every one of them. I took one, came away with none. Now, that was the birthday party. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd treat Jesus like that?
Yeah.
Of course, people haven't got that much respect for him. Everybody gets the presents but him.
Right.
And yet we want his presence. Huh?
Right.
Yeah, we run up to church, and say, "Now, may the presence of the Lord be felt. Oh, we need thy presence, dear Lord." Well, why don't you present him some presents? I don't believe we're going to get the P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S until we get to where we want the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
That's right.
And as long as we don't want his presence, E-N-C-E, I don't think we got any right and wouldn't know what to do with his presence, E-N-T-S.
That's right.
I believe if it's his birthday, we ought to give him the presents. Ought to give the biggest and the best gift all the time to Jesus. But I started to say, my mother said, "Now, son, always tell them if you go to a party. Always go tell them now that you enjoyed it." And the way we'd do it, we'd go up to the lady and we'd say, "Now, Mrs. Norris, I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed myself." Well, we ought to enjoy himself. See, Christians, we ought to enjoy himself. And I think sometimes that's the way we put it, "Well, I'm enjoying myself." Well, I don't know anything about myself I ought to enjoy. Unless it's Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Have your Bible? Time to bring the message. It's Acts chapter 4. This is the war book. This is the war book of the Bible. This is where the action took place. Everybody wants action except when they get to church. They want it at the rodeo. They want them to get thrown off, and they want the horse to buck and the old steer to hook and make the clown climb the fence, and they want to go to the football game, and they want to kill him and break his neck and break his collarbone, and they want to go to the basketball game, and they want him tripped up, and they want him fouled out, and they want action. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Come to church, Y'all be still and quiet now.
Right.
We don't want action. Let me tell you something, brother. If you'll ever go to the book of Acts, you'll find the land of action. Right. I mean, you talk about some cyclones, they's a blowing. You talk about some wars they were on in the book of Acts.
Right.
You talk about bloodshed. Oh, I'll tell you, sure, I'll have to admit that the Christians went to the big football stadium. That's right. Because I never go to a football game. I don't have time to fool with that. Some of our boys may have to go, you know, because they might be playing a little something. But, I mean, as far as me wasting my time with a bunch of stuff, I got more action than that going on. I really have. These Christians, they went to the football stadium. That's right. They went to what they call the Roman Arena. You know what they were going? They were going there as lights. They were going there to burn. That's right. They took them in there, and they, I guess, between halves, you know. See, I mean, while something wasn't going on, they said, I met the man, if they had the PA system, God, he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of these Christians, the sect of the Nazarenes, and they're here, and we feel that they ought to be burned. And so they'll burn them, ignite them with fuel and burn them up. And then I guess they'll have another. This is about what my mind says they did. And you read your history book and you'll find out. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a little entertainment now at the expense of these lowly Nazarenes. And in a moment, you're going to see them come out of the little trap door over there on the other side. They'll come to the middle of the playing field. And then after them, we'll see a mad pack of lions coming out to tear them limb from limb. Oh, yeah. They went to the football game. They went out to the stadium. Well, there's some action over there in them days. And the people up in the stadium, when they saw these blessed old saints of God coming out, Brother Bobby, with a smile on their face looking toward glory, ready to go home, graduating from the football stadium, if you please. The people rumored all over the stadium as they came out with peace and joy. They said, behold how they love one another. Behold how they love one another. That's the kind of love we need today.
Amen.
That's the kind of love we need today. Are you ready for the message? Chapter 4. It's the book of Acts, chapter 4. You know what happened, don't you, in the third chapter? A couple of preachers came along and took the crippled man by the right hand. They didn't take him by the wrong hand, took him by the right hand, didn't they? But I tell you one thing, they had something in their hand too, didn't they?
Right.
I mean, they gave him an anointed hand. They gave him a praying hand. That's back in the place, back in the time when the people went down to church to pray instead of play. Bible said they was going down the house of prayer about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And said they, on the way, said they put a crippled man at the gate beautiful and said the fellow's a begging alms. It means he had a cup there, you know, or a little plate. And he's crippled and he's in bad shape. And people felt sorry for him. And that's back in the day, I imagine, when the church folks, you know, were liberal. Always been the most liberal people in the world, Christian people. You know that? Oh, listen, God's people are the people that like to give because it's more blessed to give than to receive. But they came along and they said, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And let's start walking. And they believed he's going to walk too because they gave him a hand.
Right.
They said, give me your hand. The man looked up at them and said, you know, y'all really believe I'm going to walk, don't you? He said, we sure do. Give me that hand. Mm-hmm. Come up from there.
Hey,
brother, talk about the action. He's in the book of Acts. Listen, if you want to know how to build a New Testament church, you go to the book of Acts. That's the book right there.
That's right.
I know we got all sorts of man-made books on how to grow a New Testament church and how to build a Sunday school and how to do a lot of things. Brother, if you want to know how to build a real church, you go to the book of Acts. I mean, that's the time where, and that when they had the spiritual action. And, of course, wherever you have action, you're going to have some reaction, too. Oh, yes. I mean, where wherever you take come into your right position, you're going to have some opposition. That's right. You're going to have some opposition. Anytime you get in the position Christ wants you, you'll have some opposition coming from the devil. And to be unopposed is to become ineffective. Now then, in the fourth chapter, we're going to find some repercussions. See? Some repercussions. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, let me introduce my message by saying, as I've said before, you never raise the dead without raising the devil.
Right.
You show me a church that's raising the dead, and I'll show you a church that's having trouble with old Smutty Face. I'll guarantee you the old devil is moving on.
Right.
That's right. I know a lot of people got the rumor out, you know, that the devil is dead. And it wasn't that. You know what? The rumor that the devil is dead came out a lot lot before the rumor that God is dead. But you see, if you can do away with the devil, you can do away with God. If you can do away with the devil, you've done away with the need of God. If it's not in the devil, I'm kind of like the colored friend, who in the world is doing all this devil meant? Now then, God is the only one that can defeat the devil. Now here's what happened. In this country, people got so far away from God until they had no help of the Lord, and therefore they said, well, if we can't defeat the devil, let's just put out an announcement there's not any devil. And so here we are. It's just like the old ostrich sticking his head in the sand and thinking he's well covered. Brother, we're going to have to face it. We're facing it now. Dope addiction, alcoholism, drunkards, broken homes, homosexuality. Listen, our nation is just one big glorified cesspool of sin and iniquity, and everybody knows it. People are defeated, completely defeated. I mean, there's not any real victory across this country like there ought to be. Now, he said they were grieved. You know who was grieved? The Bible says that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees and said they were grieved because they taught through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. Can you imagine any religious group saying there's not any resurrection of the dead? Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Put them where? Bible said, put them in hold. They laid a hold on them. I get letters all the time from boys, and they say, Brother Olaf, I'm in the prison, but they've got a hold on me over in Texas when I get out. Brother, they put the hold on these boys. Why? They were preaching a living Christ. They were preaching a living Christ. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I suppose, Brother Joe, that's the greatest evangelistic report that's ever been made in the history of the world. Because the Bible said there was 5,000 men. Unless, maybe. Now, there were three reports given in the book of Acts. Number one, there were 3,000. There were 3,000 people that were saved on the day of Pentecost. When Simon Peter, repenting backslider, when he came and preached, there were 3,000 people that were converted.
Amen.
That's a great day, wasn't it?
Amen.
We've never known anything like that since then, right, that we know of. Right. We've never known of any other day. But now, wait a minute. You come on up to this day. Now, remember, a bunch of them got the handcuffs on them. They're locked up. They got a hold on them. But the Bible says there was 5,000 men. Now, I tell you what, they just literally had a tremendous landslide that day. 5,000 men. Now, reckon how many women and children got converted. If my prediction is, and women have always been softer hearted than men. Men have always been tough as boots, a lot of them, you know. I mean, they're just hard. You know, men are still out of the way. You church men are out of the way. You get a woman, all the greed you get a man. A woman confess her sin quicker than a man. Man's stubborn. I know women stubborn too sometimes, but I tell you, us men folks, we're the troublemakers ourselves. We might as well admit it. I'll guarantee you, God's men just need to repent, and we could lead the women because God's fixed the woman where she's the weaker sex, and he'll make her folly if the man will do right.
Amen.
And that same thing's true of the preacher, Brother Joe. The preacher's to be the leader.
Amen.
He's to be the leader. He's to be the ruler. And the men are supposed to follow him, and the women supposed, and the children supposed to follow the husband, and as they follow the preacher, as he follows the Lord. And that's God's divine order.
Amen.
But there were 5,000 men saved. You think they believed. Now, you know what happened when they believed, they were saved.
Amen.
And so that makes, and now say 5,000 women, that'd make 10,000. And I imagine at least 5,000 children, that'd be 15,000 people saved in one day. Oh, you'd say, Brother Olaf, to think of, wasn't it horrible that they threw them in jail and that they put the chains on them? Not if 15,000 people got saved. I sure don't, I don't anticipate with any sort of joy or expectancy laying down in this San Antonio jail, but I believe I could take a sentence if I could get 15,000 people saved. Amen?
Amen.
I believe the Lord just give me 15,000, that'd be about enough to wind me up. I mean, I believe I'd say, Lord, I believe I'd be willing to cash in for that many. I mean, I'll just swap the rest of my days. I'm 55, but I mean, I don't mean to talk out of school and say something I don't mean, but I tell you one thing, I'd like to see 15,000 people get saved one day, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Oh, my soul. And so don't feel too sorry for these boys. They're having a time. I mean, they're deep plowing, and they're cultivating in God's blessing. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000, came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kin of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, now listen at this, by what power or by what name have you done this? We'd like for you, sounds like the state today. What authority do you have? I get calls. Brother Roloff, are you licensed? Who's licensed? Boys, we're going to have it before this thing's over. We're going to have it. But I tell you one thing. What I believe we need today is Christian homes, not institutions.
Amen.
We don't need state institutions because they've all failed.
That's right.
Say what you please. They've failed to meet the spiritual need. Now, they've done good in some ways, and they've helped maybe to relieve the suffering and maybe a little crippled child or a retarded child or maybe this or that or that. But let me tell you something. If somebody's got something wrong with him in a sinful way, you better get him to Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's where our Christian homes come in. And our state and our nation better wake up and realize, though we may need some state institutions, we need some Christian homes today to get our people saved. Folks, I tell you what, I'm preaching a needed gospel right now. It may be unwelcome in certain quarters, but I tell you, those quarters are without God where that gospel's unwelcome.
Right. Amen.
I tell you, I'm sick and tired of turning our poor old sinners and dope addicts over to institutions that know nothing about Christ. I'm tired of turning our people that are troubled in mind because of their sin and because of their dirty past over to psychiatrists that'll crowd out Christ and throw the Bible away. You've got to get him to Jesus.
Amen.
And if we don't do it, we're wasting money.
Right.
I'm amazed. I'm really amazed. In the morning, one of my friends will go before the judge. I had him years ago. I really did. I had him years ago. But he turned his back on the help we offered him. He'll be sentenced into the penitentiary. He'll come out of the penitentiary the same dope addict he was when he went in. I got another friend that he's already been to the penitentiary. He's already been to Fort Worth. They want to give him that, and Fort Worth failed on him. The penitentiary failed on him. The jails failed on him. The prisons failed on him. Now then, they want to commit him to 5 years in one of these institutions where they say they give him the cure, and yet he's already gone through the thing, came out. He wasn't cured. He wasn't made well. Why? Because he faces a sin problem and they don't have the answer.
That's right.
You got to get them to Jesus to get them saved and delivered. And then, you know, this is an amazing thing. $65,000 it takes to carry them through one of those cures. $65,000, according to the newspaper report and the report coming from the institution. And then 98% of them have no cure, are not profited at all. Only 2%. And you spend $65,000. Dear friends, I'll tell you what I can do. Guarantee a complete cure on every one of them. They'll receive Jesus Christ and let him give them the new birth and fill them with the Spirit of God and get them into the Word of God. A guarantee. Now you say that sounds simple. That is. Praise God, Jesus made it like that.
Amen.
Oh, the money, the waste that we're guilty of and giving account to God for one of these days and still not get them saved. I'd say this. It'd be worth $65,000 to get a man off of dope. Off alcohol. But dear friends, we're redeemed not with silver. Dear friends, we're not saved by gold. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, here they are. The high priest, Caiaphas, Alexander, when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, say, where'd you get your power? What authority do you have? And in whose name are you doing this? All right. Thank God old Peter's ready now. His backsliding days are over. I mean, he comes up fighting, doesn't he? He said, then Peter, filled with his seminary education. Oh, no, it didn't. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now you ask us, I want you to watch this closely because we're going through the chapter. He said, you want to know in whose name, and you want to know the authority. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's our authority.
Right.
What was the authority that Moses had when he went out to old Pharaoh's inner office and said, let my people go? What was it? It was the great I am. You know who that is? That's Jesus. So he said, and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You fellas, I tell you, this didn't win Brother Peter any popularity contest.
Right.
I mean, they didn't vote him the outstanding citizen of the year. I mean, they didn't put him in who's who when he told them what was what. I'll guarantee you, that's right. And so old Brother Simon Peter, brother, you walking off in some hot fire now, brother. He said, you boys trying to build a building, aren't you? They said, yes. Well, he said, to tell you one thing, you sure overlooked the best stone.
Right.
Fact is, you left out the cornerstone. I mean, you left out the cornerstone. And he said, this stone now that you've left out, it has become the chief. This is the stone which was set in order, you builders, which has become the head. Y'all got a building without a head. Now, y'all left out the most important part of your building. They left Jesus out. And Brother Joe, this church is supposed to have a head. His name is Jesus. You and I are supposed to have the great shepherd of the sheep is the Lord Jesus. We're the under shepherd. He's the head.
Right.
He's the head of the body. Now notice, the 12th verse is where he drew the net. I mean, he got the half hitch on him right here. I mean, he's tying them up. See, they ask him. They said, by what authority or by what name have you done this? Fellas, there's no way out. And there's no way up except through Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
He said there's no other way. Now, you can preach all your religion, your Judaism, you can build your buildings, but you've left out the head. You've left out the head. Listen, and dear friends, when you leave out the head, you've left out the brains. When you've left out the head, you've left out the eyes, don't have any vision. When you've left out the head, you've left out the speaking department. That's where the speaking comes from. That's the PA system is in the head. You see, God, who at sundry time the divers manner spake in time past by the prophets of the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he created all things, dear friends. And so Jesus is the head. Y'all left out the head. Now what you've got an old dead body, but you haven't got a head. I mean, all the brains and all the thinking and all the speaking and all the vision and all the talking and all the hearing and everything comes from the head. And a body without a head is dead. And so you got an old dead Judaism. Oh, don't you know that didn't rub them right? Unless they's going to get converted, and they're not going to get converted. Now, Brother Joe, I found one person in town, the hardest fellow in the world, get converted, and that's one of the religious leaders. If you get a man full of religion, I guarantee you, you'll have a hard time ever getting him saved. The hardest thing in this world, even for a Baptist, is to admit when he knows he's not saved. Just admit he's not saved and go ahead and get saved.
Amen.
It's just something that satisfies the flesh about religion. You see, the flesh always wants religion, but never salvation. I'm going to make another statement. I guess I've never made it in my life. My flesh has never enjoyed my salvation. Ain't that something? My flesh is always, because that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. All of my enjoyment has been on the spiritual side. The spiritual man does all the enjoying, but my flesh has always been a rebel. I guess it always will be. The flesh always, and I try never to have any conferences with my flesh. Because if I do, if the Bible said, make no provision for the flesh. I know that in me that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And if the flesh can ever get you to sit down and talk with it, you'll lose out.
Right.
The only thing you can do with the flesh, Paul said, I just beat my body and bring it under. Lest after I preach others, I myself should become a castaway. And dear friends, don't ever counsel with the flesh. Because the flesh hadn't got a lick of sense. It'll say the same thing every time. If you get to talking with the flesh will say, now, I don't see why you can't be like everybody else. I don't see why you've got to be so different. You drag me around all the time. You never let me go where other people's flesh go. And you know good and well, I mean, you're living in the world and you're living among people. And I don't see, and the flesh will argue with you. All you got to do is just tell it to shut its big mouth. That's all. I mean, no way to counsel with it, no way to reason with it, and the flesh is unreasonable, and just let the spiritual man have his way, and you'll find real joy. Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. I want you to notice something. They didn't ask them where they went to college. They didn't ask them if they had some diplomas they could display. They said when they perceived that these men, Peter and John, when they perceived, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were just plain ignorant. Isn't that something? Now, I'm not for ignorance, except I believe we ought to be a little more ignorant about the world.
Right, brother.
I mean, I think it's good for a man to be ignorant about Hollywood. I mean, just plain ignorant. I think our children ought to remain ignorant about a lot of this sex education business.
Amen.
I think it's a dirty cry and shame that they begin to teach little children. I read some things this last week people sent me in the mail that I tell you the truth. I mean, this professor said, why, the little children ought to be taught, and they ought to just be taught how glamorous, you know, and how enjoy and all that kind of stuff. I tell you the truth, we're going to have to get rid of that bunch of stupid idiots or we're sunk.
Amen.
I mean, either that or take our children out of the school system.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Right. Amen.
I mean, because they don't know the Lord. They don't know Jesus. And the only thing they know is the flesh, and they're going to do their best to doctor up the flesh and get people to live in the flesh. Now, there was a time in this country when people felt like that certain things would wait way down the road. I mean, there was no discussions. I mean, mothers and daddies didn't try to teach the children anything, and yet we lived cleaner. We were more noble. We were purer. We had less broken homes. And now then, what's happened? Since everybody stuck his little old hand in the pie and said, we're going to teach this and we're going to teach that, and a bunch of these silly new educator deals have come out, we've ruined the morality of our nation.
Right.
Our nation is rotten to the core.
Yeah.
And now then, she's going from the sex angle, she'll go into the homosexual. You watch and see.
Right.
It'll be homosex now. It's not going to be just the normal relationship between the two sexes. It's going to be between one sex. I mean, that's going to be the norm when Jesus comes back again. That's going to be Lot's day. That's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah's day. And we're bordering now on the return of the Lord Jesus so far as the sinful practices of people are concerned. Man will never stop. Flesh will never stop. And I tell you who's to blame. We might as well admit it. I tell you who's to blame. It's the preachers. Heard a pastor the other day. Said they called him pastor on one of these interview deals, you know. And they were asking him. And they said, pastor, what do you think that we need to do about two things? About dope and prostitution. Well, he said, I think that they need to be licensed so that we can control, you see. I think that we ought to license the marijuana situation, and we ought, just like you have cigarettes licensed and liquor licensed, and dope is going to be licensed. We'll be long now. They've already laid the groundwork, and they got the foundation poured now. And so the stupid Americans, they haven't got any sense because away from God, all they know how to look at is television, and all they know how to do is read the newspaper, and you won't get anything spiritual out of either one of them. Promise you that right now. Whether you like it or don't like it, I'm still preaching the truth. And you better wake up, sister, because you're going to lose out with God right along the trail you're traveling now. And so they said, well, we believe that we ought to have certain sections, and we could have a legal prostitution organization, and the government would get the tax, and we'd keep out venereal disease, and our people would be healthier than they are. Isn't that stupid for call a man pastor? Well, he's one of the devil's pastors. Really, now, I don't mean to wax off in the flesh, but and I'm just going to tell you how I feel about it. I mean, if this is giving vent to my flesh, I'm sorry. But if the Lord had given me permission, I'd have gone in there in that radio program and I'd flogged him.
Right.
I mean, I'd have said, listen, bud, you're going to live in the flesh? I'm going to work on your nasty flesh. I mean, I'll fix your talking department where it won't talk for some time unless it talks through swollen lips. I'd like to jerk your tongue out and cut it off. Any preacher that hadn't got the better sense to tell that and to talk like that and to ruin our nation. And brother, I'll tell you who's ruined our nation. It's a bunch of loop-legged preachers.
Amen.
Just say what you please. I don't blame these old innocent sheep. Bless their old ignorant souls. They haven't been taught anything.
Right.
Old things drag off to church. Haven't got enough strength hardly to get there. And then when they get there, some little old preacher get up with his manicured ministry and throw them a bunch of shucks. Y'all help yourself now. Maybe pitch in a few old dry cobs. God have mercy on us today. Bible said, feed the church of God over the which I made overseer, taking the oversight. And so they saw they were ignorant and unlearned men, and they marveled They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Brother, I tell you, you don't stay with Jesus long till he puts his brand on you. They recognized him. I'll guarantee when old Peter and John, they weren't walking along with Jesus for nothing. I mean, when Jesus came by the seashore of Galilee and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. From henceforth, Simon Peter, don't be afraid. You're going to catch men instead of fish. Come on! The Bible said they left their nets and followed him. And then the next thing the Bible said, they left their father and kinfolks and followed Jesus. And I tell you, it showed up on them later. You put it down. When that bunch in the book of Acts came, they said there's one thing about it. They sure remind us of Jesus. Those fellas didn't get too close to him, but I'll guarantee you they saw the marks of Jesus in the lives of these unlearned and ignorant fishermen that were on the trail for Jesus. You'll never walk with Jesus very far until somebody else will become, that will be in the habit or start accusing you of being like him. And the greatest accusation, and you ought to plead guilty quickly and with great joy, when somebody said, you remind me of Jesus. I wonder if you're not a Christian. Yes. Well, all right. Let's read a little further and see what's going to, how this thing's going to turn out. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Brother, that's proof positive. That's what the church is going to have before we'll ever prove the world we got anything. I mean, we got to have some products. Did you know that? And don't need me running downtown hollering ripe watermelons when I haven't got anything but a bunch of rotten watermelons on the wagon. I mean, they don't need me hollering fresh fruit when the fruit's not there. I mean, we're going to have to demonstrate. Sure. Now, we've had a lot of demonstrations, you know, during this generation. They've demonstrated for everything. I mean, they've demonstrated, they've burned draft cards, and they've demonstrated for integration, and we've walked, and we've talked, and we've jabbered, and preachers have run all over the country demonstrate. We're going to demonstrate. Isn't it a sight that Christians have not been demonstrating? There's the best way in the world to get a man saved is demonstrate Christ to him. Man come out, and a fella told me the other day, I think, he had a new car. And somebody was about to buy it. He said, listen, he said, just take it and drive it. In other words, let it demonstrate itself to you. I wish I could get this old sinful world to just try Jesus and let him demonstrate himself to us.
Amen.
Christians, you and I, all of us, will be demonstrators. Every last one of us. See, we're to be a demonstrator for Jesus. We're to demonstrate how to live for Christ. We're to demonstrate the joy of Jesus. We're to demonstrate the peace that he gives. We're to demonstrate the power that he gives. Every last one of us ought to be a good demonstrator for the Lord.
Amen.
Christian is a man who reminds others of Jesus. And so we can't say anything against it. They got the proof standing right there. There the man is. You know who that man is, don't you? That's that man who's crippled up all of his life, sitting out at the gate, beautiful. Now then, this bunch of priests didn't have any answer to that, except they said, we can't say a thing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. No need doing it. We've got the man standing right there. I mean, the man's got his legs all straightened out. His arms are straightened out. He's in perfect shape. His health is good. And no need to stand there arguing about that. The man's standing right there. We can't deny it. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. All right, now we're coming up to the heart of the message. They said the thing that's gotten us in trouble and gotten them through is the fact that they've got a certain name. Now we asked them, you remember a while ago, we asked them what authority and in what name. And so they just blurted out the name of Jesus and said, now then, since that man's been made whole, I know that the secret of that man's healing is Jesus Christ. Because they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to rise up and walk. And they got up and testified about it. And they said, listen, we'll never stop this unless we stop them bragging on Jesus. We've got to stop them from preaching Jesus. Now, we fellas, we don't mind you preaching. We don't mind you talking. You can have little seminars, and you can have seminaries, and you can have college education, and you can have great programs, but just don't talk about Jesus. That's what the devil hates right there. And folks, I guarantee you, Bobby, and all the rest of you, whenever we stop preaching Jesus, then we won't have any proof any longer. And some of you little old knuckleheads sitting out there looking at me, you may not have received Jesus Christ, but at least you've had Jesus preached to you. And I'll guarantee you, you'll live to see the day when you wish. I talked to a boy in prison the week before last, and I'll guarantee, he said, Brother Olaf, I'd give anything in this world if I could be back at the boys' home. But he said, I'll never get over it. I still intend to give my full life to Christ, and I'm witnessing in here and living for the Lord. Oh, a lot of people say, well, then the old judge could have said, well, you failed with him, didn't you? No. Jesus, your Jesus failed. Jesus never failed. That old boy's witnessing. He doesn't smoke in the prison. He's telling the story of Christ. He's got a group together praying with him, and God's blessing him, and he's going on. The judge just don't know anything about it, see? That's right. Dear friends, Jesus is our only hope. And he said, they called him and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, that's bad, isn't it? I guess that'll wind it up. Won't be no more Jesus preached now. Peter and John, they got their little suitcase and tore out home and said, we might as well go back to the seashore, you know. Peter said, isn't that sad? John said, yeah. We're going to have to quit preaching now, aren't we? Get out of the minute. Is that right? Listen, I like the rest of this. These boys are not sissies, you see. There are people telling me right now that I can't do certain things, and I'm just going ahead and doing them anyhow. I'm not bragging about it. I'm sorry they don't understand, but they know we're doing right. They know we're doing right. But, I mean, here we are. He said, but Peter and John answered and said to them, well, it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God. Judge ye. We got a choice to make, John. Peter, we got a choice to make. We got to either obey them, we got to obey God. What are we going to do about it? He said, fellas, y'all realize that y'all have given us a choice? You realize that we got to either go with y'all or go with God? We got to make up our minds what we're going to do. Let's see what they're going to do. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. We're going to talk about something we know about. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now, go back to the second chapter, and let's read the 42nd through the 47th verse. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Turn to chapter 5 and we close the message. The last few verses of the 5th chapter. We'll begin reading, I believe, if you will, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They're still fighting that name that's above every name. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Had a hard time stopping that bunch, didn't they? There just wasn't any way to stop them from preaching Jesus. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus. He's every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same. as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain. He patiently waited just an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain. For he is so precious to me, saying, for he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. Precious to me, and I praise him because he appointed a place where someday through faith in his wonderful grace, I know I'm going to see him, I'm going to look in his face, for he is so precious to me, for he is so precious to me. Yes, yes. 'Tis heaven below. 'Tis heaven below. My Redeemer to know.
My Redeemer to know.
For he is so precious. He is so precious to me. Will you bow your heads now while we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the privilege of sharing this chapter in the book of Acts, so sweet and precious and good. Thank you, dear Lord, for preachers that would not turn their back on Jesus, no matter how strong the commands of the state men and the religious men happen to be. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that 5,000 men got saved in one day. And Father, I pray that we'll be men that will not be denied and will not turn back. Oh, help us to be true to thee. God bless every listener and every person that's heard the message today. And Father, as we sing that old song that says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And Father, help us as we sing that song that every Christian here will renew his allegiance to the Christ of the cross, and that we'll be true to him and to that blessed book that he gave us. So bless us and strengthen us with might. And Father, save the unsaved. Lord, if there be some boys and girls and men and women that have never really been born again, I pray in Radio Land and here in this auditorium that they'll come and receive Christ today. Believe on him. Father, you said he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And Lord, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And you said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So, Lord, I pray that folks will not be afraid of not getting in. They'll just come by faith today. Hear us and help us and renew our loves in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.